Hey y'all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Win Column Sports Network, so remember to check us out at wincolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening in the world of wrestling here in Alberta. So we are back with the debut of Season 2 here at WrestleSode. I mean, it's only been 4 days since my last episode, but that's how going between seasons works sometimes. And I'm going to have a good treat for you today. I'm going to be joined by my good friend Paul from the YYC Wrestling Hub, and we are talking RCW's Retribution, or Real Canadian Wrestling's Retribution, which took place in Calgary on January 3rd. It was a phenomenal show, really good time, and we're going to be getting right into that here in just a moment after we hear from our sponsors. But once again, thank you everybody for returning for Season 2. If you do like this podcast, remember to hit like and subscribe, or leave us a 5-star rating and review if that's what you want to do. I mean, you can do that while we hear from our sponsors right now.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast experience to remind you to tune in to WinColumnSports.ca every Wednesday for Conversations with Love, the one-on-one interview podcast featuring the best of the best in Canadian pro wrestling and available wherever podcasts are played. Tune in to CWL on the WCSN for your previews, reviews, breaking news, and now, interviews. Proudly brought to you by Beercade YEG.
Hey everybody, Anthony back. I am joined with Paul from the YYC Wrestling Hub. Paul, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Anthony?
Doing fantastic. So we're going to be talking RCW Retribution today, which took place on January 3rd in Calgary. So we're talking about the Calgary show, not necessarily the one that took place in Edmonton on January 4th, because neither of us were there.
Nope, we were both in the Legion Friday night, though.
Yeah, we sure were. I love that venue, man. That's such a close, intimate venue. And I got to give it to RCW. They have the loudest ring because it's in that venue. Like, you can really hear somebody hit that mat.
It's one of my favorite venues for even music in the city.
Oh, yeah. I haven't actually been there for any type of music or anything like that, but I've only been to 2 concerts in my whole life. I am a depraved person.
Oh,
I know, right? But let's talk RCW Retribution. We had 8 matches on the card. Really good card. We brought in some special talent like Silas Young, the last real man in professional wrestling. And, of course, the X Division champion from Impact Wrestling, Ace Austin. It was a really great
Your
way to start
favorite
off.
Favorite wrestler.
Right? Oh, hey. I don't get that one.
It's his Twitter name.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, I'm horrible. I don't know my Twitter stuff. I was just like, I don't get that joke. But probably. My mom probably would love him. She would be, you know what my mom would say about Ace? She'd be like, oh, he's just so cute. That's what my mom would probably say.
He's a nice young man.
He's a nice young boy. Actually, my mom's like really French. She'd probably do it with a very heavy French accent. It'd be really kind of funny. But anyways, I digress. Let's start with the show. We have our kickoff match here. We had Sean Martins versus the Canadian Goose, Kyle Shaw. I am always so excited when Kyle Shaw comes out. As you know, I'm a pretty big mark for Kyle Shaw. Obviously, coming off his big win at the Clandestine Societies, winning that clusterfuck match here, going against Sean Martins. But what did you think of the match?
I'm always so used to him being the ring announcer at RCW that when he wasn't there announcing it, I got a little disappointed until I saw him come out as the Goose.
I was kind of hoping once this match was over, he would have came back as the announcer. But I mean, like, don't put the guy to work that much. That guy, I mean, they didn't, obviously. But I was so happy to see him as well. Dude, I love the Goose. And let's just talk about it, because I'm going to be doing a podcast about this here pretty soon. He's got one of the best theme songs for all wrestlers, just anywhere, because that good old hockey game, man, is that iconic and part of my childhood.
Oh, for sure.
But
let's talk a cease and desist at some point, though.
Well, he's so popular. He probably will one of these days, but hopefully not, because when people see that he's the Canadian Goose and he comes out honking and he's got a bit of a tutu with his gear. It's just, I freaking love everything about the Goose. Yeah. Well, it's like it's the feathers, but he's molting. of course, we've got Sean Martins in this match as well. We don't want to exclude him. Man is a very talented wrestler. Like, holy crap, this guy is really good. This was a really fun match. And I mean, I wouldn't say it was probably my match of the night, but really cool shit happened in this match. I was talking to Kyle about this match. Did you know he had his first ever moonsault during this match?
I didn't know it was first ever.
Yeah, that was his first ever moonsault. It did look good. I thought he hit it really well. Yeah, I was talking to him after the show, and he's just like, don't forget to mention I did a moonsault. That was my first one ever. I was like, that was your first one? Yeah. And I was like, oh, dude, that was really good then. But Martin's. What?
This one was really a perfect opener, I thought.
Yeah, I think it was a great way to ring in the new year. You could think about it. This was literally the first like professional wrestling match in Calgary for the decade of the 2020s.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a cool thing to say. I never really considered it in that regard. But yeah, Sean Martins and Kyle Shaw, the first two wrestlers to put on a professional match in Calgary of the decade.
That's one hell of an accomplishment for both those guys.
I gotta tweet at them and be like, hey, did you guys realize this? That's really cool. But Sean Martins did come away the victor, tapping out Kyle Shaw. Obviously, I mean, I've got a bit sourness in me because of that, because I'm such a fan of Kyle Shaw. You know what it is? And it's not just like the heart that the guy has. He doesn't just have a really awesome look. He doesn't have just necessarily the greatest like chant when you just start honking. I don't know. There's just something about Kyle Shaw that you have to get behind.
Yeah, he's a little bit like the everyman.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to throw a mask on and get in that ring and wreak some havoc.
You know what? I bet that's exactly what it is. Like, he's got that like Joe everyman appeal. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he isn't the most physically athletic person or anything like that. He just kind of reminds me of me. And he's just such a nice guy. I was like, man, I want to be that guy. That's exactly what it must be. I want to be the Canadian goose. I'm going to join his flock. The goose flock. Sorry, Raven. We have a new bird in town. Sorry.
Oh, well, okay.
I like Raven too, though. Anyway, Sean Martins, congratulations to him. Yeah, they had a really fun match. It was really, I'm just sad. I want Kyle Shaw to win. I'm so biased, man.
Yeah, I wanted Kyle to win too, but Sean is a great wrestler.
He is, and he's really good at getting the crowd to like boo him, man. Like, remember, there was a part in this match, of course you remember, but the audience doesn't. He got on the top turnbuckle, and he was trying to get people to like cheer for him, and everyone starts booing, and then, you know, the Canadian Goose would get on the other corner, and he would just start honking, and the entire crowd would get into it, and they were just trying to trade this back and forth. Martins hated that, though, and then that's how the match pretty much started, and he like went up and hit Shaw when he was on the top corner, just trying to get the crowd into something. So, damn heels.
Perfect opener, though, right? You got the crowd involved early, you got them hyped up, you got them cheering, you got them chanting.
Yeah, and I think that you said it was perfect for that.
Yeah, it was great.
After that, we go on. We had top talent come out. So Christian Strife, Big Jesse Youngblood, Heavy Metal, but not Scott Lee Crew at this very moment, came out to the ring to, I guess you could say, showcase, debut the top talent forever championship. And that's when they called out Scott Lee Crew. He was holding it in the, I guess it was like a towel or something, came out to the ring and they debuted the belt. Man, what a beautiful belt.
It's phenomenal.
It's such a pretty belt.
Best looking belt on that show.
I would say yes to that. I would say that's probably the best looking belt on that show. And that's not a knock on any of the belts for RCW. There's something about a custom belt that just makes you super happy. And this is coming from me. My favorite WWE championship of all time was recent. It was the hemp belt that Daniel Bryan did. I just really took to that belt. People were like, that's such an ugly belt. I'm like, no, best belt. I love it. Wood? Give me a break. Oh,
it was great. Wood, hemp. You got the blue stones in it. It was a beautiful belt. It's not as nice as John Cena's US title. Because that one's Spinaroonie spawn. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a WWE Spinaroonie Championship upstairs for my daughter for whenever she gets old enough to actually play with it. But I may have been at a Value Village, saw it for $4 and said, it's for my daughter. It may have been for me.
I always think of the RVD promo when he's given the ECW title when they revived ECW. Right. And he goes, I'm going to proudly represent this championship. And I'm going to keep this one because it spins.
Dude, RVD was such a treasure, man. Like,
he's great in Impact.
I just gotta go and watch Impact. You made fun of me on Friday because I haven't been watching any Impact, but it's fair to be honest, though. That X Division Championship, that new red one, oh man, is that a pretty belt.
Oh yeah, all of the belts look fantastic since they changed the colors on them. I wasn't a huge fan of the blue, but the red just screams top championship to me.
look at what this did. So this entire thing that Top Talent did, bringing in their own championship, it sparked debates and conversations about actual championships. But we'll just say this about that belt. Man, that's a cool belt. I want to hold that belt. I definitely want a picture with that belt.
Maybe you're going to be lucky and Heavy Metal let you in the same room with it.
If Heavy Metal would let me be graced with his presence, I would be surprised. I don't expect him to. I'm a Calgary person. He don't like us, apparently. Doesn't want to challenge for that championship in Calgary. He wants to go to Edmonton for it.
Well, that's just the first defense.
Right, of course. Well, he'll defend it here in Calgary, I'm sure. Dude, Heavy Metal is so good. I love Top Talent. And I'm going to tell my story here because I have been out of RCW for like a year and a half plus, something like that, because I had a baby. So I went completely out of wrestling. Unfortunately, I didn't go to a single show during 2019. Top Talent is so damn good, man. I love everything that they do. They were so much fun to watch. They're so entertaining and they work really well as a team. And in terms of like a cohesion for a unit of four people, they work flawlessly in tandem.
Yeah, they absolutely did. Scott Lee Crew isn't always there, but he's one of my favorite pieces of that entire act.
Okay, well, we should just immediately straight up say that Scott Lee Crew was wearing the best gear of the entire night with that multiple face Dan Goodman shirt that he was wearing.
He's always got the best gear.
He's got such great gear. But yeah, so Top Talent came out and they got the crowd cheering and booing. They made us go on a roller coaster. They were super good at that. And then of course it was the entire thing was broken up by Kota. Kota came out, obviously.
The Knight of the Apocalypse.
Knight of the Apocalypse. Yeah, he came out to, I guess you could say, like, call out Christian Strife. Now, I wasn't necessarily at the last show. I don't know exactly what happened, but he seemed quite pissed at Christian Strife. Could you explain slightly more about what was happening?
Not really.
Not really. I don't know either.
But Kota, the last show I was at, he faced four wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And that one, he basically beat them up and they ran away. And I'm not quite sure where he got involved with Christian Strife. That might have happened in Edmonton sometime, but the last match I remember of Kota was him beating up four guys.
That's crazy. So the match starts, you know, Strife, he took control over the match really quickly here against Kota. It's something I guess you don't necessarily see because Kota's booked so strong, but Christian Strife was, you know, the same as striking, he was taking him out at the beginning here.
Yeah, the four guys got a little bit of an upper hand on him for about 30 seconds to a minute and a half. And I think Strife might have doubled that time.
Yeah, you know, he got some really good... He actually got a legit pin on Kota. There was that part where he, like, hits the running knee to the head, and Kota goes down, and he mm-hmm. pins him, but the ref was out at that very moment, right? And, like, that was probably a win right there for Christian Strife, like a clean one when it was just him and Kota in the ring at that very moment, obviously. But the ref was down. What are you going
to
do?
Well, Kota knew the ref was down and didn't want to exert the effort to kick out.
He's too smart, man. That's why he's Kota.
Exactly.
So we get towards the end of the match here. It's really interesting. So the chair comes into play, and Kota's getting hit with this chair. But there was kind of like this like Eddie Guerrero moment where Kota got the chair in his hands as the ref was coming to, and like Christian Strife is just down, and the ref just straight up disqualifies Kota because he thinks he used the chair. There was like shades of Eddie Guerrero in that, man.
Well, the weird part is I would swear that Kota was the one that smashed it on the ring and then held it there while Strife laid down.
Is that what happened?
I think so.
I missed it just from my angle. There was a person standing right in front of me at that very moment. When you were beside me, it was probably the same person then.
Probably.
but it was hilarious, though. Kota gets disqualified, and so we have Christian Strife retaining. But then this went on later on. So I guess they're going to be having probably a rematch later on. I guess Kota isn't necessarily done with Christian Strife, obviously, after this. Yeah, so on December 3rd, or January 31st, I have my notes here. Strife will have a no DQ match against Kota. And that's also on Christian Strife's birthday. So happy birthday, Christian Strife.
Yeah, happy birthday, Christian Strife.
For those of you who don't know now, obviously, his birthday is January 31st at the next show for RCW, so you got to make sure to get your tickets for that. Everything will be listed online. I know the tickets went on sale for it today, actually. So
yeah, the Friday of Super Bowl weekend.
Ooh, is that Super Bowl weekend? Man, I suck so much with NFL. I didn't even realize Super Bowl was coming up.
That February 2nd, I believe, is Super Bowl. So that would be...
What a waste of a day. There's only one good thing that happens on February 2nd, and that's my favorite holiday of the year, Groundhog Day, okay? I love Groundhog Day. I'm not even joking. You can ask anybody, man. Groundhog Day is legitimately my favorite holiday of every year. I'm such a weird person. Holy crap, am I weird. Anyways.
But why? Why, though?
I've always loved the festivities, and I always loved the idea of, like, a groundhog being a weatherman. I can tell you so many interesting statistics, though. Did you know that the groundhog is more often wrong than random chances? So
Like a different podcast.
It does. They're only accurate approximately 30 to 33% of the time, and that's less than random chance. Just for the record, if a groundhog says something, it's not telling the truth most of the time. Let's move on.
Stupid groundhogs.
Stupid groundhog. We have our own here just north of Calgary. Balzac Billy is our local groundhog weatherman on February 2nd. I'm serious. Anyways, so we'll move on to the next match here. We had big Jesse Youngblood coming to the ring with Scottie Crew versus Tasty Travis Cole. Obviously, you know, I'm a huge fan of Tasty Travis Cole, my favorite indie wrestler, because I remember the first indie match I ever went to, he was in it and he made the show for me. And ever since, I've just loved Tasty Travis Cole. And man, did he come to the ring in some very red, almost Santa-esque attire, but it looked good on him.
Big Jess is my favorite, and his attire is the best thing I've seen in a long time.
Let us talk, because we actually had a conversation about Youngblood's attire in this. It was so great looking. The attire made him look awesome. It didn't make him look flattering in any regard, but he looked so cool in that attire. I just loved everything about it. And the fact that he's got such good confidence, obviously, Big Jesse Youngblood, man, you got to give it to this guy. Super confident in himself, and he should be, because he's super fucking awesome and talented. I just swore, sorry, but that's whatever. He's an awesome guy, and dang, is he a good and talented wrestler. And he has the coolest attire. He is the coolest, man. Youngblood's awesome. I love that picture that Heavy Metal put online. You guys can look it up if you want. But Youngblood is like standing on someone's back. I don't know whose back it is. You can't quite tell from the picture. But he's like standing on somebody's like naked back. And he's like holding the roof. And I was like, that's just the best picture ever.
Yeah, I think January 2018, they brought in Al Snow. And I forget who Big Jess was wrestling that time. But he pulled off a moonsault from the top rope into the ring in the Legion. And I don't know how many of your listeners have been at the Legion, but there's not a whole lot of clearance.
Yeah, there was.
Like, most guys are able to touch the roof as soon as they're on that bottom rope.
Yeah, it's not a very high roof at all. In fact, you see most of the top rope maneuvers happening from the second rope as opposed to the third rope because the ceiling is so low. But yeah, man, if Youngblood is hitting stuff off the top rope in that venue, that's crazy.
Oh, it was awesome. It was life-changing.
I'm surprised that, we'll talk about this as we come up to it, but Orion, I'm surprised he didn't just immediately hit his head on the roof when he was in the ring. That guy is so tall. We'll get to that, obviously. Yeah. But we had a really good match here between Tasty Travis Cole and Big Jesse Youngblood. I want to say Young Jesse Youngblood. I'm such a weirdo. But it was super good. There was a part in this where they were just doing like a flurry of chops, and I just... There's something about chops, man. Chops always make me just so happy when you just see chopping back and forth.
Yeah, it gets you hyped up.
Oh, yeah.
It's anything like that where the crowd is able to get into it and cheer or jeer the wrestlers as they're doing things. That's where the beauty of independent wrestling is.
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, the loudest move of the entire night happened near the end of this match. Jesse hits a big sidewalk slam on Travis Cole. And I remember just like feeling like shake through me. It was so awesome. That was so loud. That ring, once again, that's like the coolest ring because that ring is so loud in that venue.
For sure. Yeah, that sidewalk slam was something else, man.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Big Jess busted out that often, but when he does, it's the move of the night in a lot of cases.
Oh yeah. Hey, and not only that, there was a part in this where Tasty hits like a twisting corkscrew neck breaker, kind of like a Ember Moon's Eclipse during this match as well, but from the second rope. That move is so pretty, man. Such a pretty move. But not only that, we had at the very end, Big Jesse Youngblood hits a spear reversal on Travis, gets the three count. There was like a serious mixture of cheers and jeers when for big Jesse Youngblood. Like, I think that's what it comes with top talent. I think with Youngblood, everybody wants to cheer for him, but not everybody wants to cheer for top talent. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's with all of them, to be honest with you.
Is that how that works? Like, all individually, everybody wants to get cheered for, but as a group, nobody wants to cheer for them because they're top talent?
No, I think the crowd just respects how good they are.
They really are.
It's a little bit
so
like
good.
Michael Richard Blaze last year and earlier in 2019, where he was getting cheers just because of how good he is.
You mean when he was heel at the time?
Yeah. And yeah. I think it's the exact same thing here, where you have top talent and everyone just respects what heavy metal, Big Jess, Strife, and Scott Lee Crew mean to the company and how good they are and the role they play. And you want to appreciate them and show your appreciation for them.
Yeah, and they're just such good entertainers. Like, they're when they come out, you can just see how comfortable they are, all four of them. They know exactly what they're doing. They know that they really are the top talent in RCW, especially as a faction, that, like, they just have the entire crowd just eating out of their palm of their hands. It's phenomenal to be a part of.
I remember a few months ago, they came out to some country western song, and they're all wearing cowboy hats, and they were dancing with the crowd and getting the crowd excited, and the people in the front row that just normally just give it to them and flip them off and curse at them. Even they were standing up and dancing with Heavy Metal and Big Jess in this front row. And at the end of the night, Heavy Metal gets on the microphone. He basically gives the equivalent of a, "I can't believe you idiots fell for it. Don't you know who I am?"
That's so perfect. That's exactly what would be coming out of Heavy Metal. He'd be like, "You guys are just like a bunch of hicks." Like, that's what something he would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ah, fantastic. So he really is. All right. Next match here after. Oh, we should also say, Big Jesse Youngblood did get the pin on Tasty Travis Cole. So your wrestler went over mine. Ah, that's, I think, twice now that that's happened. Anyways, next we had the tag match. It was Tyson Hiller and Tony Machete versus Steve Rivers and a mystery opponent that he didn't have picked out before the match, but ended up being the big sexy beast, Bradley Graham.
Yeah, it was a shock when he brought out his tag team partner as his mystery tag team partner.
What a shocker, hey? The returning tag team partner.
What a twist.
Dude, this part, there was that part in this match that was so gross. So I believe it was, I'm trying to think back on it now. I believe it was Bradley Graham who like stuck, he opened up the front of his like tights and he like stuck his hand down there like he was getting all of his gross ball sweat and like poked Tyson Hiller in the face with it. And then Steve Rivers came out and did the exact same thing.
Well, Steve Rivers didn't do it in his own tights.
No, he did it.
He came in and stuck his hand down Bradley Graham's tights.
Yeah. That's what I meant to say. This was very much the story of Goliath and Goliath versus David and David.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, David versus Goliath, that's apparently, through imperialistic data, a fairly fair fight. But as far as two Goliaths versus two Davids goes, it was very much a Goliath fight in this. As much as I should hate to say, because, hey, Tyson Hiller and Tony Machete, they gave it absolutely everything they can. But their combined weight was probably that of Bradley Graham. And then probably, you add Steve Rivers on top of that.
Probably. But both those guys are so young in their careers. Mm-hmm. I think this is Tony Machete's, I think he has had less than 5 matches.
Oh, really? You actually couldn't tell that because he's pretty smooth for someone who's, I guess, that to everything.
Yeah, his first was last October or November, I want to say, against Heavy Metal. And it was a fantastic match. And I'm really excited to see where Tony Machete goes. But Tyson Hiller has been around, I think he might have come in around the same time Cody Chimera did.
Okay.
So both of them are less than a year in at this point.
Yeah, and that's really good. Okay, so as it is, like, I couldn't have expected these guys to have been, like, multi-year veterans just based on how they were wrestling, but they are really good if they're this new, though. Like, I was expecting at least 2 or 3 years behind them, but if these guys are both around a year, that's really good.
No, they're really exciting.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in seeing how they work as a tag team. I'd like to see them against Big Jess and a Christian Strife, maybe.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I could see something like that. Tyson Hiller, we both compared him, like, and this isn't a knock at him or anything like that, but you and me both kind of made that comment that he very much looks a little bit like Pro Jared, which I thought was hilarious as soon as I heard that. I was like, holy cow, he does look a little bit like Pro Jared.
Yeah, it was when he was on the apron in his corner and his hair was a little bit puffy.
Yeah, it was a bit puffy and it was up and his he was turned away, so we could see his profile. And it was just it just looked very pro Jared at that very moment. It was funny, but not a knock at him, obviously. Good looking guy, but just it's funny when you see one person and immediately you didn't even realize looks like another person.
Yeah.
But great wrestlers, Tyson Hiller, Tony Machete. Obviously, Steve Rivers and Bradley Graham came away with the win here, but they didn't let up on Tyson Hiller and Tony Machete at the end of the match, or as Steve Rivers called them, Tyson Trudeau versus Tony Macaroni. That was hilarious.
The illegal immigrant, Tony Macaroni.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we should also just say out there for everybody, Steve Rivers' gimmick is like a super proud American anti-immigration guy. Is that how you would probably say something like that? Very proud?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
The problem is he's in Canada when he does it.
yeah, talks down to Canada all the time. It's a good way to get heat. The last show last year in 2019, the crowd actually started chanting "Okay, Boomer" at him, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Oh man, I should make for everybody out there. I am 31, so technically I'm considered a millennial, but that makes me laugh. Anyway, so this match was pretty good. Like I said, Bradley Graham and Steve Rivers wins. At the very end, they kept beating up on Tyson Hiller and Tony Machete. So Steven Styles comes out to the ring and says that his Steve Rivers and Bradley think they're so strong, but on January 31st they would have to fight Mentolo and his, I guess, disciple now, Tyler Colton, aka the Canadian Hercules. That'll be an awesome match, actually.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Now,
I'm a huge tag team wrestling guy. Me and too. Anytime I just get to see a good tag match, I'm happy.
Yeah. You guessed my favorite tag match of all time, which was amazing. Probably because it was probably one of the greatest tag matches of all time. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Tyler Colton. So I remember seeing this guy. I've probably seen him probably in about four or five matches. When I first started coming to independent wrestling shows, it was almost strictly CWE. And then I branched out. And I've saw Tyler Colton so many times in CWE shows. This guy is awesome. So I'm really excited to see what that match is going to be like. So we're going to obviously be back on the 31st for that. So I'm
also on the 31st. You have Raj Singh.
Wait, what? I didn't care. What happened?
Raj Singh from Impact Wrestling is coming in. He's also wrestled around Calgary for years.
No, I didn't realize that he was coming in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Steven said it earlier in the show that they would be back with Raj Singh.
Oh, well, I'm super excited for that. That's awesome. I'll take that. Absolutely. That makes me happy. So on the 31st, we'll also have Mentolo and Tyler Colton taking on Bradley Graham and Steve Rivers. And next up we had for the Impact Wrestling X Division Championship. And I should also say that this is the first time ever in Western Canada that this title has ever been defended, which, man, for that to say for Cody Chimera, that's got to be a huge, wow, I just got that. I got that under my belt now.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge boost to his confidence. A great pat on the back saying you're doing everything right.
Yeah, and you know what? He really is. So we had Cody Chimera come to the ring with Sealy Fate up against Impact Zone Ace Austin. I got to say this, Cody Chimera. So I'm a big dubstep guy. That's one of my favorite genres of music. His theme song makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's... Dubstep's not my favorite genre, but it's a good one. It's very distinct too.
Yeah, he's got one of the, and his goes with his look, right? When he was coming out to the ring, it suit his look really well. And of course, Ace Austin, who had probably the coolest intro or entrance to the ring of the night, he had that I guess you could call it a magician's wind, but it was spring loaded, and he hit that part where he hit the ropes and then hit the mat, flipped backwards, and as his hand hit the ground, the stick shot up out of his hand and he caught it. It was so cool. It was just it was watching a magic act.
Yeah. That's his entrance all the time.
It's so good, man. I really don't watch enough Ace Austin, especially because I just haven't been keeping up with Impact when there's just so much great wrestling going on in TV. I really should, though. I got to go back and watch more of this stuff because I know Ace Austin's been there, 8 or 9 months or something like that. And he's already the X Division champion.
Yeah, you definitely should watch Impact, even if it's just for the women's division alone.
Oh, dude, I watched specifically for Tessa Blanchard. I should go back and say I watched specifically for Tessa Blanchard.
The whole women's division is so good there.
Oh, man. I was so upset earlier in the year after. So here's the thing. Like, I was keeping up with it. Gail Kim is one of my favorite female wrestlers of all time. Holy crap, is she good. I'm so sad that she's not currently wrestling. But, I mean, how long has she been doing it for, right?
Yeah, 20 plus years.
Something like that. She was so good, though, man. I was, like I said, big fan of Gail Kim. So let's talk a little bit about this match. So it started off kind of slow. I would say it was more of what you would call a methodical pace. They were just kind of trying to feel each other out. But quickly into this match, Ace Austin takes control, just starts beating up on Chimera. Chimera smart, though, rolls out of the ring. Celia Faith does a great job as a manager, those moments where Chimera needs a break or just a minute here or there. There was a part where she was like very on the ring at the very end, and I was surprised that the ref didn't actually kick her out because she was being almost too blatant as a man, like as she was trying to distract people. And in those moments, I like to see refs or managers get kicked out when they go too far. It didn't happen in this match, which, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But in those moments, I like those come get your comeuppance moments.
Yeah, it's always so satisfying where you see someone trying to bend the rules to their will and then they get kicked out and the crowd gets to sing na 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 hey hey goodbye to them.
Yeah. And that, as someone who's in the crowd, it's so much fun to do. Plus, then of course, it always like really like flusters the person who lost their manager and they're never really quite on their game. And in terms of telling the story, it usually explains why they lose because they can't cheat or you know, get the assistance of their manager. But that didn't happen in this. But Cody Chimera, he did a great job, man. He started taking over the match, started putting him Ace Austin in the corner, just unloading just like a bunch of strikes on him, started chopping, obviously. And the match started to get quite a bit faster. This is one of those matches that really told the story of like feeling each other out until it started moving at a quite fast pace.
Yeah, it was a match that I was really happy to see Cody Chimera was able to hold his own in.
Yeah. That's exactly.
I think the world of Cody Chimera. I think yes. He is one of the most exciting young talents in Alberta. And for him to get this marquee match so early in his career, it's huge for him.
Yeah, it really showcases just like how far he's coming along in like the just over a year that he's been doing this. And I remember turning to you in this match and saying to you, it's like, if I didn't know who was who, and like I didn't know which one was the professional that's been doing this for years and who's only into this like a year into their career, I wouldn't have been able to tell you who was who. And like that goes a long way to tell you just how good Cody Chimera is.
Yeah, he's infinitely better than I would have predicted anyone at his level of experience would be.
Absolutely. And there was a good part in this. Celia Fate, when she did the best job as a manager, there was a part where Ace Austin hits, I don't remember exactly what move it was, but he's pinning Cody Chimera. Cody Chimera was really close to the ropes. So Celia Faith grabs his leg, throws it on the rope. So the ref stops count at two. That was really well done. But at the very end, we did have Ace Austin hitting the fold and getting the pin on Cody Chimera, I guess, in that case. And he also then retained the X Division Championship moving on. So I guess he went up to Edmonton the next day. But so a little bit... it was a really good match, actually, like I was saying. Like, Cody Chimera, he's really doing so well for himself after being just so new to this business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then we had our intermission, a nice little break there, before we came back and had our triple threat match between Bryce the Slammer Sova, the Cheetah Bear, Jude Dawkins, and, of course, Giant O'Ryan. Okay. I have to make this comparison quickly because... both Bryce Sova and Jude Dawkins, I would say, are like at least 6 foot two, maybe 6 foot one, 6 foot two, at least 240 to 250 pounds, probably maybe 230 to 250, somewhere in that area. Jude Dawkins, a little bit bigger than Bryce Sova, bigger gentleman, right? Like towers over me. Then both of these gentlemen were towered over by Giant O'Ryan. Like, okay, this guy is tall. I don't know. I think he might be the tallest wrestler in Alberta. And I don't know for sure. I want to stand him next to Andre and Titan. And
yeah, for sure. I think it would be between him and Andre.
I think so. I think Titan is slightly shorter than Andre, maybe like an inch, maybe 2 inches. because Andre is a massive individual as well. But like, could you imagine those three in a triple threat like dream match here in Alberta? Like, you would need to like reinforce the ring because those are such massive individuals.
Yeah, one of them hits a superplex and the ring just blows just apart.
Blows apart. Exactly. It would be like when I guess this happened on a couple of different occasions, but most recently would be when the Big Show got superplexed by Braun Strowman off the top rope and like the ring just fell apart and the ref fell out of the ring.
Yeah, I always go back and think about the Brock Lesnar and Big Show.
Brock Lesnar and Big Show one, yeah. Same thing. Big Show's always getting this happen to him.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I always love when rings get destroyed, man. It makes me super happy. That would be something that was pretty awesome. But Bryce, the Slammer Sova, and the Cheetah Bear, Jude Dawkins, let's talk a little bit about them. These guys have two, in my opinion, of the coolest looks in Alberta wrestling. Bryce Sova, I don't know how you would quite explain how he comes to the ring. First off, his greatest facial hair probably in Alberta wrestling. Like, that guy's facial hair is like immaculate and beautiful. And especially his mustache, obviously. That's what I'm referring to. And Jude Dawkins just looks like a, like holy crap, this guy looks has the coolest look. Jude Dawkins. He looks so good. He looks like a wrestler. He looks like, I remember I said this about Cody Chimera, where he's just got this natural look as a wrestler. I hadn't been paying enough attention to Jude Dawkins because this guy's got the natural look of a wrestler. But yeah, not only that, but Giant Orion, massive individual. So let's talk a little bit about what happened in this match. So it starts off, Jude Dawkins and Bryce Sova just do whatever they can to knock Orion to the outside, obviously. And there's this part where Orion literally like picks up Bryce Sova and just starts tossing him around like he's a stuffed animal. And like I said, like this guy's like 6'2", like 230 pounds at least.
Yeah, for sure. It was a lot of humanity in that ring.
Yeah. That's a, that's a good way of putting it. There's just a lot of humans, a lot of, not humans, but a lot of human in that ring combined total because there's such individuals. Lots of human in there. We had, but it was a really good match. Bryce the Slammer Sova ended up picking the win against Jude Dawkins. And Giant Orion, as it was, he had probably only like 5 or 6 moves in this entire match, but they were all giant power moves and he hit them, like, he hit them perfectly.
Giant Orion, he makes everything he does look so good, so impactful, which I think is all you can really ask from a quote unquote giant.
Yeah, and I think this is a good way of looking at it because, I mean, Andre, the original, the giant, was a bad example of this because obviously he had serious problems with gigantism and all that kind of stuff, and the man was too large just in terms of his whole body, like his whole body grew. So in terms of movement, he didn't move very well. He was good at the power moves, but even when he did the power moves, besides from being the fact that he was a giant, they didn't always look the most delicate. They didn't necessarily always even seem like the most impactful when he did them because he's so big. It was, his coordination was way off. I feel like Orion doesn't have this problem at all. He's clearly a massive individual, massive by any standards, but he's also just, he's very fluid, very smooth, very good for his
size.
He's
really proportionate too.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like he doesn't look like he's got gigantism or anything like that. He's just big.
He is. He's just a big guy. So when I first looked at him when he was coming out to the ring, my brain didn't say giant to me because, like you said, he's proportionally, he could be 5'6" or 7'1" in his body structure if he was just stretched out like an accordion. Do you know what I mean? Like he could fit any of those sizes because his proportions are right. It wasn't until he was next to Bryce Sova and Jude Dawkins that you really got a grasp as to how tall this guy really is. And it took him getting to the ring for me to really notice that. So, so this was a great match. Bryce, has some cool chants when like the entire, arena was chanting 10 more slams because they want obviously all the slams out of him. Didn't do it in this one, but you said at the last match you went or last show you went to, he gave tons of slams.
Yeah. The Holiday Havoc Gauntlet, which I think was for a championship shot later. Mm-hmm. Started off with Dante, Keishi, Tyson Hiller, Orion, and then Cheetah Bear got in the ring, and it was Cheetah Bear's debut for RCW.
Right.
And then at some point, Slammer slammed Cheetah Bear, and the crowd, 10 more slams. And then he proceeded to give us 10 more slams.
Oh, that's
and then amazing. Lose the match.
Well, I mean, that's okay. He won it in this one, though.
I think that's what really played into this. He wasn't listening to the crowd this time.
Yeah, and he won. Maybe that was
what happened. He won.
Ugh. Good on Bryce Silva. Like I said, that guy's got a really cool look. I don't think it's quite to the same level as Jude Dawkins because that guy looks amazing. But man, Bryce Silva's got a good look. Great mustache. I'm really happy that Bryce Silva won because the last time I had actually seen Bryce Silva wrestle live was the PWA show with the three stages of hell match where they had like the Hurricane. That was literally the last time I got to see Bryce Silva live. So I was really happy to see him on this match. Obviously, he's working heel nowadays, as where he was the face at that time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else was in that match.
So, okay, I can't remember who the opponents were. For whatever reason, I cannot think of it, but I know his teammates were Sidney Steele. Wait, was it Sidney Steele? No.
I don't think it was.
The Chris Steele. What am I saying?
Yeah,
I have
Chris Steele.
It was Chris Steele. Sidney Steele's down in Lethbridge. It was Chris Steele. It was Duke Durango. It was the Hurricane and Bryce the Slammer Sova versus
Sheik. No,
Sheik Akbar Shabazz, and that was with MRB and BVD in the three stages of hell match against the Open.
I'm trying to think who else was in that match. It was a fun match. Oh, it was the league.
Was it the league? Okay, hold on. I'm pulling it up right now. I'm looking on cagematch.net right now.
Yeah, it was the league and Bobby and Michael Allen, Richard Clark.
Yes, that's exactly. It was Bobby Sharp, Michael Allen, Richard Clark. So team Body Break versus... Oh, wait, no, that's not quite what it was back in the day.
Yeah, team Body Break in the league versus Chris Steele, Duke Durango, Slammer, and Hurricane.
There you go. Anyways, that's a completely different show at a different time for another promotion. But that was a fun match, too. But
that was fun match.
It was that was probably my match of the year that year because I hadn't gone to enough shows. But I really dug that match, man. They made Gabriel look like a star. I love Gabriel. Such a nice guy in real life, too. He's the guy who you were saying, well, obviously I was there. He was the guy who pulled us back before the death match at the Clandestine. So I was like, dude, you guys don't want to be here. He was right. Next up. Oh, super great guy. Very nice guy. Next up, we had Matt Hart and D. Dwight Davis taking on Vince Austin and, of course, again,
Dante.
Right. Dante, thank you. Yeah. So this was...
This one started out as just Matt Hart and Vince Austin.
Yes. That's pretty much how this
became a tag team.
Yep. And then it stopped being a tag team. Right. They brought it. So there was a really cool, but that was pretty much right in front of us. We got to have a really great view because of where we were. They were fighting literally right in front of the floor, right in front of us. It was felt weird. I was like sitting there with my laptop taking notes and I'm just like, look at that. But I like that part. Vince Austin slams Matt Hart's head into a table and that table made like a really good sound. Obviously, they slapped the table really hard when he put his head into it. So that was really cool. But it didn't last very long. Most of this fight took place on the outside of the ring. As soon as he got back there, like you're saying, D. Dwight Davis's ex-wife came out, pulled him back. He went to the back, and then he essentially got two-on-one. Got hit, Matt Hart. I'm saying he got two-on-one by Vince Austin and Dante. And there was a part where Dante pulls out a chair and hits Matt Hart, and I guess Vince Austin gets disqualified. This is kind of hard to explain. So Vince Austin gets disqualified, retains the championship despite losing the match, but then it becomes like a Texas street fight. And then it's like a 2-on-1. So Vince Austin and Dante are just taking on Matt Hart and just beating the crap out of him. And then D. Dwight Davis comes out and he clears away Vince Austin and Dante as the refs call for the fact that Matt Hart can't continue the match. So in that case, Vince Austin and Dante won. I wasn't 100% sure as to what was going on here, if I'm being 100% honest. It was too much happening at too short a period of time, and it lost me a little bit. The fighting outside the ring and the brawling and everything like that was fine. It was fantastic in terms of all of that. I just couldn't quite follow the story that was happening.
Yeah, and I feel like it might have happened at a bad time. Just because the crowd was so invested in Slammer, Cheetah Bear, and before that, Ace Austin, Cody Chimera.
Yeah.
That this story-heavy match between Matt Hart and Vince Austin really didn't have the time or attention of the crowd to really do it justice.
Yeah, because I would say this, like, this whole thing was much less than 10 minutes, like, for everything mm-hmm. you know, said and done. This was one of the shorter matches, obviously. And like you said, it was definitely more story-driven versus, like, actual wrestling-driven. I felt like the story was kind of confusing, especially for some people who were there for the first time, because I had actually asked one of my friends that I had taken. I was like, so, like, when you were watching that, what did you think? He's like, I didn't actually know what happened. I was like, okay, see, that's very fair. That's a fair thing right there. But it was still, it was good for what it was. The story was a little confusing.
Yeah, Matt Hart's come a long way from when I first saw him wrestle.
Yeah, me too. Like, because I first saw him in a CWE show like 2 or 3 years ago at this point. So he's definitely come a long way. He's a lot more comfortable in his character, that's for sure. And I think he wears that really well. Like, he comes out, he feels confident, he looks confident, he knows how to get the crowd behind him. He gets a huge pop, obviously, because he is Matt Hart. I wish there was a more of a showcase on his actual wrestling in this. That's all I thought.
Yeah, but now he's the British Commonwealth champion. Won yep. it the next night in Edmonton.
Yep.
So I'm open to see him take on some really good challengers for him.
Well, let's look at RCW right now. Before we move on to the final and main event, what do you think some really good challengers would be for him to take on that Commonwealth Championship?
Cheetah Bear.
Cheetah Bear is a great answer. Son of Irish.
Son of Irish would be great. Tasty Travis Cole.
That was my next one as well, obviously. Big Jesse Youngblood, get some more gold inside of Top Talent.
Yeah.
The Canadian Goose.
Guy, like, even a young guy like Tony Machete.
Tony Machete would be a really good opponent, I think, for him. Yeah, absolutely, actually. I think that's a really good answer. I think it would be a good challenge, obviously, for Tony Machete if he's super new and all that kind of stuff. And I think it'd be really good for Matt Hart to showcase himself as the more experienced wrestler in the ring to see what mm-hmm. kind of match they could be brought to. I like that idea. Look at you go. Smart man. All right. Next up, we'll talk about the main event. Now, obviously, all of Top Talent comes back out for this before they introduce Silas Young, the last real man in professional wrestling. But Heavy Metal comes out, cuts a promo. I love everything about Heavy Metal. He is so much fun. I have so many notes on this match. But so Heavy Metal was talking about how, you know, Silas Young is, of course, the last professional man in the last real man in professional wrestling, but he is, of course, the main event in professional wrestling. Silas Young comes out and he agrees essentially with Heavy Metal. He's like, yeah, man, you are the man. But then he looks at Top Talent. He's like, but you know, these guys are obviously your bitches. Oh, that was a great line. The crowd lost their minds with that one. Obviously, Top Talent lost their mind. It was a good one, man. Like, great job there. Silas Young can work a crowd really well. I really like Silas Young. It's funny. This is the second time I've seen him wrestle live, and both times I've seen him wrestle live have been in Calgary. I've never seen him wrestle live outside of Calgary. He's my Calgary guy there, Silas Young. But yeah, Heavy Metal versus Silas Young. This is probably my match of the night. These two are amazing workers, man. Holy cow. The entire story of this is Top Talent is a really well-oiled machine because all of them were there during the entire match, and they interfered every single time that Silas Young got even a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, and going back to what you said about Sealy of Fate earlier in the podcast,
right?
I wish that the referee exercised a little bit of discretion and ejected Top Talent at some point.
Yeah, there's so many different times in this match, but I think this also goes to show just how good Top Talent did it, because they were a perfect example of this. Every time the ref was, like, distracted, they were doing something, but they were doing a great job of keeping the distraction on the ref. Celia Fate was doing it more in the, like, she's on the side of the apron, and she's just yelling, and she's clearly causing a disturbance. Top Talent was just, they were picking their spots, and as soon as the ref was looking, they were in the crowd, they were just yelling at the crowd and making cheers and boos, obviously. But as soon as the ref had those back turned, immediately they would be on Silas Young, hitting him, tripping him, no matter what it was. It just felt like a more, I guess you could say it was more accurate to what it needs to be for a manager. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't know.
But of course, that's just their character versus
referees that have a little bit of smarts and they're able to catch those things.
Yeah, that's fair. But I mean, that's taking a big hit at almost all of wrestling, because in that regard, refs are the most oblivious people in the world for the job that they have.
That's true.
Like, it really is. It's like you go to ref school, they're like, okay, if somebody's talking to you and they're pointing at their foot, they're like, I broke my toe, I broke my toe, and the crowd is going insane, do you turn around and look to see if something is happening? And only they get hired if they say, no, 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 what's going on with the toe? Like, that's how you be a ref.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, so this was a really good match. Heavy Metal eventually stopped being in, he had control for like 20 minutes, but eventually Silas Young comes back, he fights back, he knocks over Heavy Metal. As soon as Top Talent starts to try to get involved, he knocks out all of Top Talent. He gets his comeback around like the 20-minute mark, and he just starts fighting. He does a whole bunch of really amazing moves, but it's not quite enough to put Heavy Metal down. Heavy Metal had the advantage for most of this match. So, you know, he was definitely definitely stronger because he hadn't been beat up as much. So even like the big power moves that Silas Young was hitting on Heavy Metal was able to gain more of an advantage because, you know, he wasn't breathing as hard. You know, his cardio was a little bit up compared to that of Silas Young, who was just getting beat on for 20 minutes. There was a part at the very end. I have no idea what this move is called that Silas Young tried doing. But basically, he gets to like the corner, he puts his head down on the rope, puts his arms up, flips his legs up, so his feet are up in the air, his head's like on the rope, and then he like falls backwards, hits the rope, bounces forward, and tries to like splash onto Heavy Metal, who gets out of the way. I have no idea what that move is called, but damn, it was pretty.
I think it's the PG Waja plunge.
I gotta look, Google this up here. You talk about the,
but he did a rolling fireman's carry as well.
Oh yeah, the Death Valley driver, that was beautiful.
And then the springboard moonsault.
Oh, he did so many great moves. It goes to show you why Silas Young is wrestling for Ring of Honor, why he's been in matches with some of the best stars in the world, why he is brought around North America as a talent. Man, Silas Young is a damn good professional wrestler, man.
Yeah, he's the last real man.
Yeah, he's the last real man in professional wrestling. But he missed that move, and immediately we have Heavy Metal come in for this beautiful super kick, hit Silas Young in the face. Silas Young topples over. We get the pin. 1-2-3. Heavy Metal retains. And you know, it was a good match. Silas Young congratulated Heavy Metal, says, you know, you're amazing, but I did make the promise that once this match was over, I was going to beat up your bitches. And then he proceeded to beat up the bitches that were Top Talent and cleared them out of the ring and stood tall at the very end. That was so much fun. It was a great way to end the show as well. Obviously, we have Heavy Metal retaining, but Silas Young standing tall, getting the crowd behind him, Top Talent trying to retreat back. It was a really fun show, man.
Yeah, it was a really fun show top to bottom. I thought they bookended it really well. He had a great starter, got the crowd into it. He had a great finishing match that had the crowd also into it, and you sent him home by having Silas Young beat up the bitches.
I love that. Beat up the bitches. All right, well, now that we've talked about the show, obviously they're going to be back on the 31st. A couple of the matches now have been announced. What would you say your top three matches of the night would be? We're probably going to be in agreement.
I'm curious. Ace Austin and Cody Chimera.
Is that your best or number three?
I'd put that as number one.
Oh, that was your best one? Your favorite one, number one? Okay.
Yeah. Then really, really close behind, like just a hair, Heavy Metal Silas Young.
Right. Okay.
And then Slammer Cheetah Baron Orion would be my number three.
Ah, I like that. Okay. Mine's a little bit different. I'm putting at number one Heavy Metal and Silas Young. I thought that was, in my opinion, the slightly better match. Two, I was going to put Cody Chimera and Ace Austin. And three, I was going to put Travis Cole and Big Jesse Youngblood.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that one either.
No, those were all really good matches. And I really liked the triple threat as well. I think Orion and the Cheetah Bear really stood out to me. I thought they were fantastic. I want to see, obviously, more of the Cheetah Bear. His look is phenomenal. And obviously, Orion, I feel like I want to book him in so many dream feuds because of his size and the fact that he hits every move that he does perfectly. So, like, that was really great about Orion. But, yeah, this was just top to bottom. It was a good show. A good show. Great matches. They like you said, Ace Austin and bringing in Silas Young. They had great competitors in Cody Chimera and Heavy Metal. It was a good show top to bottom. I can't wait to go back on the 31st.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today. Before we do let you go, you want to plug your stuff, man?
You can find me, YYC Wrestling Hub, on Twitter. Last time I said that if you Google search search YYC Wrestling, we are the first result. And we are now the fourth result.
I was going to say, you're the fourth result now. I was going to say, actually, I had Googled it during that last time we spoke, but I didn't say anything because you were the fourth result, and I just didn't say anything. But the fact that you just said you were the fourth
result. Either way, we're first page.
There you go. Yeah, YYC Wrestling Hub. Essentially, if you want to know what's going on in Calgary in the world of wrestling, and you need to know where shows are when they are, you're the person to go to, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you again to Paul for joining me over at the YYC Wrestling Hub to talk RCW Retribution. We have another show coming up here this Saturday. It's going to be PWA. It's going to be on, what is it, January the 11th. So if you're in Calgary, remember to head down to the Cedar Brae Community Center to take a look at the PWA show taking place this weekend. It's going to be great. Take a look online for tickets. I know they're on sale now. So season two is now officially here. We have a lot of really cool stuff happening here for season two that you're going to have to stay tuned for over the next couple of weeks. Really big, cool things and exciting announcements especially. So stay tuned. Remember to hit that like button or subscribe if you haven't yet. Leave us a 5-star rating or review if that's what you want to do. Thank you again and have a wonderful day.